you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Tweet at us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Guy won some awards recently, right? I got this in front
of me.
Did he? Yeah, Puss, what's the award?
What was it, the Points of Light Foundation?
Points of Light Foundation, yeah, the Points of Light Foundation.
That's an extraordinary individual who takes action to improve the world. We've known that for a long time.
He shared this with, Jungle Jack got it, him and his wife here in the photo, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and of all people, Cody Sesenball, who's a cornerback for the Steelers. There are three guys on this picture.
Well, that's a pretty good company.
I'm a big Steeler fan. That's pretty cool. And congratulations, Jack, on the award.
Yeah, come. How'd y'all know about that?
You know what? Our producer digs this kind of stuff up.
We have our sources, Jack.
We have sources.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to keep track of you, Jack.
Yeah.
I know, but I asked him. I said, "Your show must have a record of how long it's been on you. You might be the oldest radio people in the country here pretty soon." I don't mean it that way. I'm sorry, that was terrible.
He dropped yes again. I hope we're the oldest people someday on the radio. I would have. I get no other skills.
I would like that.
Got no other skills.
I've been telling people when I do your show. I said these guys are pros. They've been at it for about 40 years. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but a long time.
Well, we could, but we didn't do it 40 years.
Yeah.
Well. You know, I thought I didn't know what to say much today, but. You know, I usually have something to say, but I had to start this whole thing because I turned 70. I think you know that.
Happy
but
birthday,
what happened
mother.
To me 2 weeks ago.
What happened?
Well, that's all right. I'll be 71 soon. But
okay.
Last 2 weeks ago, you know how you have pills? Remember your grandmother put them in Kleenexes when you were little and she had to take pills. And then I started taking, you know, some pills because you get old, you have to take them. So all of a sudden, people in my office gave me three compartments. I said, that's not funny. I said, I'm doing my Kleenex pills. So anyway,
pill cases.
Oh, you got to
give it pill cases. Yeah.
And this Christmas, they gave me a 12-pill box. But my three-pill box, I swear, about 2 weeks ago, I was on a plane. In that box, you will not believe this. I had a Centrum. You've heard of Centrum Vitamin.
Right. Yeah.
I had that in there. I had a stool softener and a half Viagra. And can you imagine this? I'm not making that up. I just said, what am I going to tell them? This is the most embarrassing thing I ever had. The guy said, what kind of pills you take? And I wasn't thinking again. I was tired. I said, well, I'll take a stool softener, a Centrum, and half a Viagra. He said, why do you take a half? He asked me why I took a half. I said, no, your damn business why I take a half.
You just say, because I don't need a whole one. That's why, buddy.
No, right. Guys.
You told us a story. You took one of those things in a hotel in New York by yourself, and that was dangerous, right?
Yeah, I took two of them. You kidding me? That was the dumbest thing I've ever done. That's why I cut them to half.
I love there's a stool softener in there, too, for some reason.
Take me through that.
I don't know why. I'm having a bad week.
Right. I don't think we've ever went into depth on that. Take us through that thought process. You're all alone in a New York City hotel. And you
without your wife.
You decided to take, was it?
Because I never used this stuff before. And all I know is her gynecologist, a dear friend of mine, he goes to Africa with us all the time and takes care of the film crew. They get sick. Anyway, he's the one that gave me four free packets. And gosh, the Davey Bomb is like $60 for three or four pills. You kidding me? I'll just soon eat grass or something. Forget that crap.
Was it Viagra or Cialis? I don't recall.
No, Cialis. I do take that on a daily basis for my prostate. I'm serious. The ad on TV is correct. To whoever your listeners are, I'm telling you something. That stuff, forget the sexual thing in all seriousness. I take it for in case your prostate goes out of wire.
Got
you know,
it. All right.
You got to be 70. If any of your listeners have to be 70 to understand all this.
There's a lot of guys out there that are 70.
Yeah, but Jack, you are a healthy 70-year-old. You're still vibrant. You're still active.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Except for those stools.
But you know what I filmed this year, though? I haven't talked to y'all since then. I finally got to film The Great Migration. I've tried to do it for 30 years now, and you have to hit it on 2 days in Tanzania. And it was the most amazing sight. It's a wonder of the world, they call it. Can you imagine 3 million wildebeest and zebra getting in line, just like the army guys do, come down out of Tanzania and going north 100-something miles to Kenya where it's raining. They know it's raining up there to go get the grass. And I sat there, and the guy goes, oh, my God, it's going to happen this time. So he speeded down there with the Mara River. And for 7 hours, we watched almost 2 million come across that river and head north. You talk about nature. How in the world They don't have cell phones right now. I was going to say, hey, Mr. Zebra, let's all meet down here and go north.
That is amazing. I know, obviously.
It really was, you guys. It's going to be something.
That's cool.
We've seen it on TV. It must be spectacular in person.
Yeah, you've seen it on TV before, and we've got to film that thing. And then I filmed in Costa Rica recently and filmed, I've been there quite a few times. And we went there to film the jaguar, the cat up in the mountains, mm-hmm. A big jaguar, are coming down to the beaches now and eating the huge sea turtles. And they don't know what they're trying to figure out why all of a sudden they're going to the oceans now. I did that, but then it poured rain. We did find one of them that got eaten by one. And then we did the vipers, the snakes. Oh my gosh, that make your pants squall. Those Bushmaster, one bite, and you'll never be a radio man again.
So a viper kills you immediately?
It's a neurotoxic. A lot of them do. It's not hemotoxic like a rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
The neurotoxic means it goes right to your brain. It's really not a painful death. You just get bit by them and go to sleep. So
yeah, well, you're
the
still
other way,
dead.
The rattlesnake's not fun.
Have you ever been bitten by a snake?
Oh yeah. I never told you that. Yes,
no.
It was in People magazine in 19. Let me get this right. In the 80s, I have to try and get you a copy. An anaconda, 16 feet long, almost took my right. It was all repaired. My right two fingers off. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm from Tennessee. I never saw a snake. I went down there to help a guy outside of Orlando, Florida. He had one of these things. He's in his backyard and getting ready to put it in a pond. Three of us were holding it, and I saw it was shedding. So I decided to go take a piece of the shedding off the near top of his head, never knowing that like lightning, got my two fingers. And this is good for anybody that might go and be bitten by an anaconda or a python. The whole key is do not pull your hand out. Why is that? Because their jaw muscles freeze. Well, a few animals in nature, for example, a lot of animals will bite or try to attack and things like that. Well, if they do that, they'll let go. If they see they can't eat you or do whatever, the snake will let go. And so, I mean, most animals do. But this is the only animal in nature that once it bites, the jaw muscles freeze. And they cannot release their jaw muscles. So they have to hold on for about a half an hour where you have to sit there. Well, that thing had my fingers in his mouth for 25 minutes exactly till he loosened his mouth and they put a stick in there. I got my hand out. You can see the bones, but he didn't take them off. If I try to pull it out, any of your folks that are listening, you're on a hike, just tweet me or email me. If you get bit by one, just hold it. I'll tell you what to do during the whole process.
What are the odds? How did you know not to? I mean, cause that's a human instinct just to yank your hand back.
Well, he had guys around him.
I tried that. I immediately tried to do that, and the guy grabbed my arm in the middle of a second. I said, stop it. What are you doing? Jack, if you do this, you're going to lose your fingers. No, they're already gone. And I was in a shock, and about 5 minutes later, there was no shock there. There was pain beyond belief. And I sat there for almost 25 minutes.
So just you and the snake, up. You and the snake just sitting there, somebody holding the rest of the snake, and you're just sitting there looking
exactly,
at the thing. Man.
Exactly.
That's horrifying. That'd be horrifying for you.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant, I'll tell you that. guess who the doctor's name was? Guess who the doctor's name was at the hospital? I'm not making this up. Yeah. Dr. Rape was the doctor. Oh, my God. I couldn't stand it. I'm not joking. I can't make this stuff up.
That's a bad name for a doctor, man. Was he a gynecologist?
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully not. That'd be kind of rabbit.
Oh, yeah. I tell you this. The guy that takes care, that has to look around your bottom.
Right.
I don't know what you call those guys.
Yep.
His name is, I swear he is. If you don't believe me, I'll give you his number. His name is Dr. Ramsbottom. If you don't believe me, I'll give you his number in Ohio.
That'd be a proctologist.
I'm not joking about these things.
His name's,
sure. He's the guy that gives you your stool softener.
I don't want Dr. Rape around my bottom either, for that matter.
No. I never thought about that one. All I know is that. So, I run into all these things. I don't know what happens to me. How I'm so lucky to do this stuff.
That's a great story, though.
Obviously,
it's a horrible story. It's a sad story.
The anaconda is not venomous, or we wouldn't be talking.
No, exactly correct. See, they're not venomous, right? They're not. The power, though, is incredible. The anaconda, everyone, it lives in water and it has their babies in the water. The python lays eggs like a chicken, like 20, 30 eggs, and they circle around those eggs. And they twitch every minute. They twitch, and that keeps the eggs warm. So the python, I'd rather mess with them than a. Like in the Everglades, for example, they have those pythons, thousands of them, I guess.
Right.
And that's, I'm not worried about going down there. If that was anacondas down there, then I probably wouldn't go. But people are nervous about going there. They shouldn't have to worry about the pythons. They're not going to do anything.
Jungle Jack, Jack, I think we probably asked this question before all the years we've talked to you. What animal are you afraid of?
I told you that. My damn wife. That's it. She's a man. She's not with me right now.
She's not sitting right there. Okay, besides your wife, what animal are you afraid of?
Well, I get asked that question, and the answer is for those listening, if I'm afraid of an animal, when I'm out there filming, whether it's the rhino, the elephant,
right.
I've used one word in all my 30 years of filming, and that's called respect. If I'm afraid, that means Jack Hanna has put his film crew or the guys have put us there in that situation. So whenever I'm afraid, and as I got on in life, when you film, that's their home. It's not my home. So
right.
if you respect these animals with respect, then you're not going to have the problem. But yes, I've been afraid.
Yeah.
I have afraid when all of a sudden we're out there in California filming the big giant seal out there near Monterey. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it's huge. Mm-hmm. The thing is like as long as a car. We're sitting there with the biologist, with the game and fish guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking the milk to test it from one of the females. And, they put it down to check all this. All of a sudden, in 1 millisecond, the big male came flying across the sand dune, took the sound man I have. He's been with me. He's with me 25 years, retired, and bit his thigh.
Whoa.
Just powie. Put it right through his thing and hit his thigh there. I ripped his pants and put big indentations. It didn't rip the leg. He just bit it and went back.
I missed what it was. A seal?
A seal, right.
Oh, yeah.
You know the name of it. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the thing. It's one of the largest in the world.
Man.
It's on that coast. And then also we had a rhino, which we were filming the rhinos way out in the plains there, at least 200 yards away, which is safe. And all of a sudden something came out behind us. They usually don't sit in thick trees like that. And there's a white rhino usually out there in the fields. That thing came and just charged the Jeep and hit the back of it. And I thought she was going to knock it over. That wasn't our fault. We just didn't see the animal.
I can't recall reading the animal in Africa most responsible for human deaths is the hippo. Is that correct?
You got it. You're right about that. Exactly. And I also, way back when in the 1980s again, I was filming the hippos in Rwanda. Before that terrible genocide, and I have a little house in Rwanda where the mountain gorillas live. But anyway, we're out there in this thing. I was with Bobby Rahal, the race car driver's wife, and some of the friends, and we were watching a baby hippo. Just weren't near the mother or nothing. We were watching the baby hippo, and we thought the baby hippo was by itself. It was big enough to be by itself, kind of. But then that mother came from behind this as a heavy metal boat. That thing hit it, put it through the air almost on the one side of it, and the one girl that was with there, I can't remember her name, fell over and held on to the side of the thing. I grabbed her arm. But that again, will tell you, when you're out there, you know, you've got to do things and be aware of everything. And that's, what happened there.
What Jungle Jack with us, Jack Hanna, what animal are regular human being afraid of that you say that you would tell that person, no, that's just an image, they're kind?
Well,
I mean, are there any...
you guys come up with such good questions, for God's sake.
Because we're smart guys, that's why.
Yeah,
and we're old.
You hear a lot of animals.
And we're curious. We're curious.
Yeah, a lot of animals are more afraid of you than you should be of them.
Right.
Well, the animals that I say afraid, a lot of the sea creatures, obviously, are animals that, you know, you're down there filming and stuff, and most of them are just darting away from you a lot, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think sometimes they use that word killer whale, for example, out there
right.
when I film them out in the near Alaska and places like that, in British Columbia. It's not that these animals... You know, yes, I got nervous out there. The guy took me out there. He took me out there in a little boat. He said, oh, you know, this Jack, we'll leave the big boat and go out here and look at the the killer whales.
Leave the big boat, get a small boat, okay.
You can imagine. I said, I don't think that's safe. He said, Jack, I've come up here for 15 years doing this. I know, and all of a sudden we're out there, and the guys that work for me, they're in there filming the whales out there. And all of a sudden, I don't know what came from behind us, but this big killer whale just kind of acted like he's only looks like a little walk or something, came within about 20 feet of this boat we were in, and I said, oh, God, bless, like this. And he goes, don't, just calm down, Jack. Things are going to go right by us. Don't worry. Well, it's okay. You say don't worry. I'm raised in Tennessee on a farm. I see a daggum guppy down there, but that's some fish like this. It's called a killer whale.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the animal was something, though. It just went right by. You know, some people think right away that they're just going to come after you. If you respect these animals, like I said, respect is the number one word that I use. Even your dogs or something, you know. You look at the injuries, for example.
Right.
You have to respect the horse. You have to respect the dog. I go to some people's homes, and the little baby goes there and grabs a bone from a dog eating his food there in the kitchen. That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that to even to your own domestic dog.
Jack, I'm watching the Wild Countdown this weekend, and I just wanted to thank you because you bring a bit of sanity every Saturday morning. I'll flip on the TV, and it's nothing political. It
feels just, like you're a kid again watching the show. I turn the TV on Saturday mornings, too, and you're on, Jack, and it's like of all the stuff we do during the week and all the news, and no matter how you feel about the news, it's depressing sometimes, so you just want to see Jack hanging out with some animals.
It's just fun, and it's educational, and since we've gotten to know you, while I'm watching, I'm thinking, you know, Jack's probably not watching this, and Jack probably doesn't even remember when he filmed this.
You know something? You're 90% right. Why is that? Because always on Saturdays and Sundays, I'm out doing my speeches throughout the country. I do about 30 cities a year.
You're busy.
It's always Saturday and Sunday. I've seen myself twice in 1 year.
So you're not laying in bed?
I always think that how much Viagra does Jack have on him right now when I look when I watch the show?
No, you know when I watch my show is maybe 10 more years. When I might be, I don't know, in a nursing home or assisted living, I'll have my diapers on and I'll be sitting there watching it.
And your stool softener and your Viagra, you'll have those too, right?
Well, no, I'll do the stool softener, but I'm just, you forget that. I'll just use some kind of a popsicle stick or something.
Now, you don't remember this. Tell me if you remember filming this, because last weekend you were in, I forget what part of Africa, but you saw a rare sight. It was, I believe, a lion and a tree.
You know something? Yes, I remember that time. There was it wasn't just one. There was three or four cubs, and they weren't really small cubs either. But that's the only way they got up that tree, being that small. There were like three or four of them up in that tree. I remember that. That was like, 10 or 15 years ago. And they're up in that tree, and I said, that's one of the first times ever. You know, I've filmed over there many times, but I've never seen four lions that are, I say, cubs. They're about, I would say, maybe a year and a half old, 2 years, whatever. And they're up in that tree, and they can do that, I guess, when they're, you know, that younger. But I've never seen a huge lion ever get up in a tree. I've seen them sitting on logs and stuff, but not that. Now, leopards, that's a different story.
I was surprised that the lions don't climb trees. Is that because they're so big?
It's like cheetahs as well. You know, a cheetah will sit on, you know, a small limb, just like the lions do, or a tree that's blown over, and they can jump. Yes, the cheetah can jump somewhat, but those are known as tree climbing cats.
So if a lion's around and you have time to climb the tree, it won't come up there and eat you, right? Because it can't go. It won't go, right?
Yeah, well, it better not go. That's where I go.
That's where Jack goes to the tree.
Well, I'd send one of the camera guys up there just to save me, probably. That's a terrible thing to say, but, you know, they're a lot younger than me. So.
Hence the stool softener.
Jack, this isn't a political question, because I don't want to talk about that, but I just want to talk about this. Somebody wanted to ask you this question. A while back, there was just somebody talking about bringing guns everywhere, and in some state, whatever. It's not really a gun question.
It was probably Texas.
It might have been. Somebody said that they were going to allow guns in zoos, and I laughed. I said, please. I said, don't allow a gun in a zoo, because I said, let's ask Jungle Jack that, because I would think that a random guy being afraid in a zoo, the last thing you want him is a gun.
But you're serious, though, that somebody was going to bring a gun in a zoo. Is that true?
Well, the story was
that they were going to allow it.
No matter how you feel about gun rights, and that's not the question, some places guns shouldn't be allowed, like maybe in stadiums.
Yeah, exactly.
Stadiums,
right.
Airports, though, and zoos. Am I right?
You've got it.
All right.
You're beyond right. The thing is, everybody, and no matter, you know, I don't know how you guys do it. No matter what party you're in, I'm just tired of everything. I think all of us are. Mm-hmm. I think pretty soon somebody start working together. I've got kids and grandkids. I think we'll all agree. You all have a tough job.
Yep.
It's the same crap. It's always going on this. I know Trump. I've met President Clinton, the Bushes. I've been around all of them. But this whole thing now, all of us have to work together. But your answer to your question is, as far as that, when President Obama, when he was our president, the point is when he said that we could have weapons in our national parks, or guns, I'm sorry, that was not the decision to make.
Yeah, I didn't like that decision either.
You cannot do that. See, I was in the military. To shoot a pistol, which some people are carrying now, you have to practice with it. You just think, there's a grizzly bear, let's get him. Let me tell you something.
Right.
That grizzly bear starts coming. By the way, a grizzly bear can run 100 yards, a football field, in 4 to 6 seconds. 100 yards.
Holy crap.
You tell me. Yes, I try and explain this to people. They try and get pictures up there, and I live in a glacier in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
You see these people trying to get a picture, get a little closer. Sometimes I'll yell, folks, back off. I'm telling you something. I film things like this. The bear looks real nice, but once he gets upset, especially around his babies, you will not be here. Back off.
Yep, he can close.
And if you have a gun, a bullet, don't take a gun to a zoo. As a matter of fact, at the Columbus Zoo,
we
have one of the most incredible securities you ever saw. And if anybody ever attempted to do that, they'd be arrested on the spot.
Good, because I was hoping you'd agree with us. I don't think guns should be in zoos. Yes, good. That was a question.
No, that's not a place for a gun. No,
right.
It's not.
I wouldn't think so. Jungle Jack Cannibals, where are you at right now? Are you calling from the zoo right now, or are you out west?
No, I just came out here for the first time in 10 years. I finally get my family of 14, 15 together for Christmas, and I'm just coming out here because their one lives in England, and their family, they like to ski.
Mm-hmm.
And my other daughter learned how to ski. The point is, with my knees replaced, I don't know about, I'm not a good skier anyway, but now I haven't got the guts to tell them it's about 22 degrees here, but there's no snow on the ground.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What am I going to do in this damn house with 15 people? I'm going to have to jump off a rail. I can't take care of 15 friggin' people.
Yeah, you got nothing to do outside, right? If you don't, you can't ski. And there's 15 people the whole way through the holidays?
Yeah, it's obvious I can't use any Viagra if they're all running around. Jeez, oh, man, I've had it.
Grandpa's got a chubber. All right.
Yeah, I love telling you guys. This, I have more fun. I do a lot. I do tons of radio. I tell the girl, I don't care if those guys want it on a Sunday night or a Monday night. I don't care what time of day or night. I'll do anything for those guys. They just have great questions. They do a lot of studying when we talk. Well, and then the office goes, are you sure, Jack, it's studying you talk about? Look, we add diversity to our conversations. We're diverse.
Yes, we are.
These guys are diverse.
Yes. Is there any other talk show? Any other radio show? Oh, TV show? Stool softeners with the host.
Exactly. No, but I tell you what, I've been doing the James Corden show.
I like James. Nine of them. He's funny, man. Yeah.
I want to tell you something. He'll take over one of the top slots. You watch, it's going to happen shortly.
Yeah. You've been doing Corden now recently? Okay, good, good. Does he let you tell stories, or you just bring the animals on?
No. He's from England. See, he's never seen a lot of animals. He does is not acting. He is literally mesmerized by these animals, and he's got the nicest group of people. Like you do in your thing, when guys answer the phone, I talk to your place. Mm-hmm. It's like a family, you guys. Some of these shows I used to do, they're yelling at each other all the time, do this, do that. But James Corden has a tremendous crew there, about 40, 50 people, and all of them get along like family. That's what I love doing the show.
That's good. Just don't let them talk you into doing that carpool karaoke.
And my buddy Betty White turns, as you know, in December there. I think it's December. I think it's 94, 95 years old. Betty She's been White. A dear friend for many years.
Oh, that's cool. I know your friends with her. That's great. She's a great lady.
Yeah, she loves animals.
Where are you heading in January once you get done with the family?
Well, at that point, I've got to go in Namibia. I have to film there. I'm going back to Rwanda to do the gorillas as well as the schools we have there for the kids that were injured in the it's a long story, in the terrible genocide, but we'll do a story on the gorillas and also Rwanda, which is now the safest country in Africa, by the way. Was voted that. It's unbelievable. You would not believe this country. And I've been there since 1980.
They flipped that, didn't they?
They turned around. Yeah.
It's a wonder of the world. If you guys, it's unbelievable to see what I saw in 82 versus today. I've never, they got some of the biggest Marriotts in the world. They got, it's just like no paper, no nothing. It's like on the ground. And President Kagame is a tremendous guy. He does not stand for that one word, corruption. He will not stand for it. And that country is a representation of what every country can be. So anyway,
we got a question.
I do a lot of work with.
Okay, go ahead. I want to ask you one more question about before we let you go. Our producer was talking about this, and Larry the Cable Guy is a good friend of ours. But the problem with Larry is that when he goes out, he has to be Larry. He's got to be dressed like Larry the Cable Guy. You are always dressed in khaki. Do you go anywhere in public dressed with a shirt, no hat, and jeans and like a dress shirt and a tie where nobody would recognize you? Or do you always dress in khaki?
There ain't gonna be no tie. Okay. I have one suit in my closet, and you think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like a safari suit, but it's a suit that's for my funeral. My wife's got it put up there, all there waiting, and I got my hat always, wearing that hat.
Yeah.
And that hat, by the way, has been on every car in the world for 15 years. I've been offered about $8,000 for it. When I get $10,000, I'm going to give it to St. Jude Hospital, which saved my daughter from her leukemia. So
that's cool.
I wear. Now, yes, when I do travel, I have a roller bag in a backpack. That's all I have. I have my two pair of underwear, my two socks. I wash those in the room, and I dry them with my hair dryer. And then I can't iron very well, so I try to wash them. My safari clothes, if something craps on me during a show, then I got to have an extra pair. So I do have to travel sometimes with the stuff. And I can't take that hat and squish it in a roll-on because I'm not about to check a bag on today's airline. So, yes, I do have to have it on. And I have my little pictures I carry with me in case some little kids come up. And, you know, it has a little stuff about animals on the back of it. So, you know, I didn't mind. I don't do this for egotistical signed pictures.
No.
I do it because I got tired of signing, my gosh, you know, toilet paper, paper towels, all kinds of crap. I said, if I'm going to take time to sign something, I'm going to give them something they might want. So
that's a great idea.
That's what I do now.
All right, Jack, we appreciate it. And good luck with the family over the holidays. Hope you get some snow and so you can get out of the house. Yeah. And we'll talk to you in the new year. Appreciate it.
Have a good Christmas.
Well, that'd be great. Give me a call. Send my love to everybody and also your families, and have a great Christmas yourselves.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Always good talking to you.
I think that was a record. We were like maybe 15 seconds in, he dropped the S-bomb.
Yeah,
33 seconds.
He dropped the S-bomb.
33 seconds after Todd brought him on the air.
He dropped the S-bomb.
There was an S-bomb.
All right.
But cool guy. The remaining 20 minutes without one.
He did go the rest of it without saying it.
Got
he
it out
close.
Of the system.
He was close. He brought up Dr. Rape. I thought it was going to go downhill.
Let's acknowledge his restraint there. 20 minutes without an S-bomb.
If you just tuned in to Miss Jungle Jack, go to the podcast. He's always great.
He's incredible.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.